than murdered. Other friends have flown before. On the morrow he will leave me, as my hopes have flown before. And the bird said nevermore.
You're listening to The Call Podcast with Brandon and Josh.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a brand new edition of The Call. It is a Baltimore Ravens podcast where we talk anything and everything Baltimore Ravens football. Thank you for listening to us on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Player.fm, Overcast. Overcast and Google Play Music. I'm a little out of sorts.
What's up, man?
I'm a little out of sorts because I always at the end talk about Satchel, and I looked up Satchel this week and I realized they haven't been in business since December 2018. So we shouldn't have been talking about them for about a year now because they're not an option anymore. And all I keep thinking in my head is don't bring up Satchel, don't bring up Satchel, don't bring up Satchel.
That's an epic fail. We should definitely research what platforms are on. That's we'll take that embarrassing. We'll put it this way. We'll take that embarrassing loss as the Browns did last night. Obviously, we're recording the day after. And we'll break it all down, but definitely helped us in the long run this weekend. The ups and downs of every week in the NFL, man. You can look good one week and then look so horrible the next. And boy, did the Ravens look horrible, dude. That game was. If everybody I talked to, that was a typical Ravens Steelers bout. I'm not even going to start. I'll say this. We all know the officiating's bad across the board. Our game, all the NFL included. I do not want to waste my God-given breath of talking about them because they don't deserve any time on our show. But let's come in agreement, my friend. The officiating is bad, and the NFL has a huge problem on their hands. I want to start off by recognizing that, and then I want to pose a question to you here now. I want to start off with this because this is concerning, right? You said you listened to the game on the radio. How was it listening to the radio with the calls involved? I want to ask you that.
It was pretty hilarious because Jerry Sandusky was doing the call, and and every time that the refs would get something wrong, he would just go, "I don't know how they see it that way. He said, "I'm looking at the replays right now, and what they are saying on the field is incorrect." It would be, "I don't know how that's a fumble. I don't know how that's not an interception. I don't know how this is that, this is that." Every single play was, it seems as if they're just kind of making up the rules right now.
They are, and that's frustrating. And when my timelines during the game are filled with the officiating, they become too big of a game. You're supposed to manage the game flow. Yeah, penalties happen. Call them when they're necessary. But especially when you're looking at replays, what is New York looking at getting them wrong anyway? Like, I just don't get it. Apparently, there's a whole interpretation of, well, the ground can't help you catch the ball, but apparently it can help you get an interception. I don't know. Apart from the calls from the Chiefs game 2 weeks ago till now, not only our game, but I watched some games that afternoon. I took a pulse of social media. It's across the board. But I pose this question to you. Had a lot of disagreement. Obviously, me and you are big wrestling fans. AEW just came out with WWE, right? So that's the other main attraction now these days. And you went to the show live.
I did.
And let me ask you this before I even get to the next question. And obviously there's an NFL point to this and all this, wrestling and that involved. Do you think AEW is healthy for WWE as far as competition sake? Do you think they need another competition to push them?
I mean, you can ask any wrestling fan out there right now. Vince McMahon is out of touch with what is going on in the world right now. He doesn't know what his own fans want. And the best thing for Vince McMahon is competition. He has tried to make his own competition between shows with Raw and SmackDown and now NXT. And he's tried to make a fake war. But right now, the WWE is 100% in the shadow of the Attitude Era from the late 90s. They're relying on old superstars. They have none of their own right now. And it's because He didn't have to make new superstars. Vince didn't need new wrestlers. He's had John Cena for, what is it, 15, 17 years, relied on him, and that's it. AEW is now taking superstars from the WWE, like John Moxley, formerly Dean Ambrose, and he's taking guys like off. And they're taking guys like off of the independent circuit, and they're not going to be in the WWE because now they have another place to go.
Wow.
AEW is perfect to make the WWE product better. It's perfect to make the wrestling world better as far as wrestlers and time off and pay and all that kind of stuff. But having competition, that brings out the best in anybody.
Right. And you kind of see where my point is. Iron sharpens iron is the mantra always is, right? You know, that's kind of why I've always said, yeah, I know it sucks that the Patriots are always there and Tom Brady never retires. But I've always said keep them around as long as you can, because if it wasn't for them, everything would be mediocre. So it's like, because it's like basically it's the Patriots and the rest. Let's just level with us. And I'm pretty sure I'm the minority, which I'm fine with. But I've always said, if you want to beat you need to start chasing greatness. If you don't have greatness around, how are you going to measure that? Now, I know the next greatest thing is Mahomes and the Chiefs, but that's the next coming in. But
hold on. Let me tell you this real quick. I thought about this. If the NFL were sports entertainment like the WWE, the Super Bowl this year should be Tom Brady and the Patriots versus the San Francisco 49ers. It should be
makes sense, right? They're both undefeated at this point.
Well, also Brady versus the guy he got fired in New England that San Francisco got.
You going with the storyline, see?
I mean, that makes perfect sense if it were all going to play out and like you're scripted, just trying to do, like yeah, and said, scripted.
Right, and it's almost like the Ravens season, right? The storylines. You know, we started with Suggs and the Cardinals coming back here. You know, we in 2 weeks, Earl Thomas goes back to Seattle. You know, we already had rematch number one with the Browns that didn't go too well, where we beat them to win the title, division title last year. You know, we have a Patriots game coming up. So it's like there are storylines in our season too, but I get lost on us, and there's a tie-in, especially with McMahon and all that in wrestling, where I tweeted out, after this, all this officiating crap, I said, I kind of took this road, and this is where I'm going with all this, and I want to hear your opinions. I don't think you chimed in, and I'm interested to hear your thoughts. So I tweeted out saying, if the NFL doesn't get their officiating stuff right or they fix whatever's going on, I feel like with the XFL coming in 2020, I'm not saying like, oh, it's going to replace – you can't replace the NFL, but I feel like – because I heard talk radio this week, whether these fans are telling the truth or not, I don't know. I think they are, because I can hear it in their voice. They sound pretty upset. Where two back-to-back callers on the fan that I listened to, they said that mid-game they just turned off. They got so agitated with how the game flow is and the calls, they had to turn the game off. It was like making them so upset. I know. It's just the game and all that, but it's very frustrating to sit there and watch it where it's like the guy hit it perfectly, where I've said this out of my own mouth, where it's like when a big play happens, whether you're looking for the flag indicator on the TV or looking for it on the field live, it's almost like you can't – like what happens every time there's a play. I'm like, wait. Is there a flag? Is there holding? Oh, no. Okay, let's celebrate. Like, I don't get excited right away now. They've affected the game so much, but I say all that to say this. I said the XFL would be good for the NFL as far as competition if the NFL doesn't get their officiating right, and if the XFL comes out with their reboot this time and does it right and they have a cleaner product. Do you think the XFL is going to push the NFL, or do you think because it's such a gimmicky, it's a reboot, it's McMahon, it's so brand new that, and the NFL is such a juggernaut, do you think that it's going to take months or maybe years if the XFL lasts that long? Or do you think it's healthy at the right time saying, hey, listen, you're going to lose fans to this new league if you don't get your stuff straight? What do you think?
Well, I love the – I mean, you can listen to when the XFL first got announced. We did an hour-and-a-half show on that. So if you go into our archives
– I remember that.
thecall.brandocash.com, you can find that episode. I think it's a fantastic idea for the XFL to come out right now because – like you said, there's a referee problem in the NFL. They don't know what a catch is. They don't know how to define the catch.
I mean, the Ravens player this Sunday, I get it, player safety, right? He barely brushed his helmet, and you're calling a 15-yard penalty? Are you kidding me? Like, you can watch old highlights. I shared one, like, weeks ago. Even, 10 years ago, Tom Brady got his head taken off against the Bills, no flag. But then as you get into the later years, it's like you barely breathe around it. And what's frustrating is, and this all interweaves, trust me, but with the Ravens' concern of lack of pass rush, right, they're told get after the quarterback, but it's like, do we really want a pass rush, really? Because as soon as you tackle him at the knees, like what happened with Lamar, it was a makeup call, right? You remember that. You know, if you tackle him at the knees, hit him or anywhere around the helmet, and I know, and we get it, right? I'm happy Mason Rudolph is okay. The hit with Earl Thomas on him wasn't malicious. It wasn't a vaunted perfect type hit where obviously he's out of the league right now. He wasn't headhunting. He didn't launch. It was pretty much, you know, he got hit from behind. He leaned forward. It's a combination, but I've always said they wear helmets for a reason, right? And I mean, you might, like with him to getting the face mask taken off to make sure he's okay, you might as well just take the face helmets off and face masks off if you're going to have it that way. But it's like, how do you thrive as that defender to go after the quarterback? So that's kind of where I went at it. I really wanted to start off by that because it's such a hot topic. It was fresh in my mind. And because these calls, it was like when I was watching the Chiefs game, man, it was like I told my dad, I was like, you can't sit there and tell me, because apart from at the end of the game where I felt like we had some makeup calls go our way, obviously the tackle with Lamar, it was rough in the passer. He kind of, you could have said he went low, but it wasn't malicious, but hey, it is what it is. But in the Chiefs game, it was like no penalties were called on the Chiefs, but it's like conveniently when the Ravens stop them, and like with the whole Mahomes didn't get a flag on his call, and then all of a sudden he like looked at the ref and kind of like insinuated it. Then the ref's like, "Oh yeah, Patrick, you're right," and throw the flag. It's like, no, it's like the players are influencing the game because they're calling for the flags if they feel like it's a ticky-tacky. Every receiver that I see that misses a catch or it's incomplete pass, guilty of it too. I see it all the time. It's receivers like quickly like turning around with his hands stretched out like, come on, where's the flag? And I know it was interference against Mark Andrews and the whole challenging thing, and Harbaugh feels the league's not going to overturn those. It's just a mess, and it's a knee-jerk reaction from the championship game last year. Saints got hosed, we know, and the NFL just does it backwards. And you're right, I feel like I'm in a minority, whether, you know, everybody's got their opinion, no one's right or wrong. I just feel like you're right. I feel like I'm with you too. I feel like competition's good, and if the NFL don't get it right, and look, who's to say if Vince McMahon has this product come out and it's clean for the first months or a year, I don't know how long their season is yet, and they get the it's a clean game. That's kind of why I love Brandy. I don't know if you really watch college football. I beg you to just take an afternoon for a few hours, watch college football. It's a cleaner game. The refs aren't bigger than the game. They let the game flow. I don't care if it's D1, D2, D. Just watch any college football game and you tell me the difference. Then go watch an NFL game on Sunday, including the Ravens, and you just do that for one weekend. You'll see the difference. It's alarming. It's alarming. So I wanted to start off that. It was hot, fresh off the presses. It's a pressing situation. It's a frustrating situation. But my goodness, it's just there's no end in sight. But all in all, be all, wow, what a huge road win. I can't even begin to say fathom how bad we played. That's a road win in the division against your rival. That's all that matters at this point.
Yeah, I like Josh said, I listened to the game, and it was very difficult to listen to that on the road.
Oh, yeah.
Before we get into that, if you are interested in the XFL, they did just release that they will be having their draft on October 15th and 16th. It's a 71-man roster. They'll look to fill a 71-man roster for all eight teams, and that's going to be October 15th and 16th. You can watch that on XFL media channels from Connecticut, so probably Facebook, YouTube, that stuff. And it's interesting because there are, if you're local here to Maryland, there are two players that were given the invitation to this draft. There's Randall Harris. He's, I believe he's an offensive tackle from Towson. And then there's also, let me find his name, Kyree Lee, who is a tight end from Bowie State. So you do have a couple college players here in Maryland that are going into the XFL draft. We'll see who gets to pick them up if they are chosen, but kind of interesting. But anyway, back to Ravens Steelers. This was a big game. It kind of it was interesting to listen to because it's funny. You and I just talked about it last week. are these games as big as they used to be? Do these players who are faster and quicker and lighter, they aren't, you know, it's not games that are one in the trenches. Do they still understand this rivalry? And to see the Ravens, as we know them right now, up against the Steelers, it wasn't pretty. But it was a win, and that's kind of the Ravens' MO. So this kind of went into the long lineage of Ravens-Steeler games.
It did. It kind of lived up to the hype, if there was any hype at this one. There's hype for it for me. Prior to the game, when I got there with all the locals at the restaurant I watched the game with, I kind of said, this is a playoff game. You know, everybody goes, how you feel? I said, I'm nervous. Why is it not? Dude, it's a playoff game. Because you figured if we'd have lost, and we were one hair away from really doing that, you figured, now we know the Browns did end up losing this weekend, but you figured even if that were to happen and laid out, let's say the Ravens did lose, and the Ravens, Steelers, and Browns would have been 2-3, all tied at the top. Then the Bengals would have been 0-5. We play them next. But then we would have technically been in third place, and here's why. Because the Steelers would have the head-to-head to us, and the Browns have the head-to-head against us. So you mean the two teams that we're technically tied with already beat us 2 out of 3 losses. That would have been huge. So this, for as it stands in week 5, the way it's shaping up, there couldn't have been a more huge win right now, 5 weeks in, third win of the season, than this one. It was very ugly. It was definitely, and I'll put it out there, it's Lamar's worst game this season. I felt like the defense was suffocating. They didn't really let us get going. It was that Ravens-Steelers bout, like you said. It was we was tough running. You know, we held James Conner in check, and they held Mark Ingram in check. It was the battle of the quarterbacks, and the Ravens defense again had their woes. Let Mason Rudolph go up and down the field. It was back and forth. It was a close, contested game. Knocked him out. I'm glad he's okay. It was a scary moment seeing him fall. I don't know what it sounded like on the radio, man, but it was definitely – when I saw him get hit and he fell, I'm like, the dude – I thought – I mean, I hate to say it. You know, he was dead, right? But no, not even that part. But like, his arm went limp. He wasn't moving. I'm like, dude, he's out cold. Like, I knew automatically concussion or spinal injury or something of that nature, or something happened. And, God bless, he's okay. Ravens, Steelers or not, I don't care who's on the field. You know, I know it's our rival, but you never want to see somebody taken out like that. And even in the long run, the third stringer came in Hodges thinking, okay, we're going to really get this guy. It's not like the Ravens' defenses of old, man, where even if you had a backup to Roethlisberger come in and we give him crap, and now it was a third stringer, they weren't phased. The Steelers weren't phased at all, no matter who was under center. They went right down the field. That's concerning to me at all. Like, if anything's glaring at this game, it's the fact that we didn't put any pressure on these two quarterbacks. We let them pretty much almost pick us apart at will. The stats didn't show it. We kept them in check for all day, but they had timely. I mean, Hodges had a 20-yard scamper. He had timely first down passes right over the middle on the sideline. They still kept the drives alive, and if it wasn't for a huge superstar playmaking ability by Marlon Humphrey, who got redemption. Again, if you recall, Marlon Humphrey had Juju on the sidelines. He tried to punch out the ball at that point, slipped right through the tackle, and Juju scored. And then, of course, everybody's like, why are you attacking a ball? Here's why. You know, and I'll eat my words because I even said it. I'm like, tackle instead of trying to go for that. It's hard to get that. And at the end of the game, we all got pretty much vindicated by, you know, what he did before, because he made the play, and he even said Wink Martindale teaches them that, you know, they count for that. You got to punch at the ball, and they're taught that if you're going to try to wrap up, make the tackle, at least try to get that ball and lodge it out, you know, and end up being proving the winning factor on Sunday. The grit on this team's, regardless of how bad they played all around, defense, offense, how about that, man? The grit and resilience of this team not to quit when everything was against them. And I tell you what, we had some troops on the ground there. What I mean by that was I knew a lot of friends who were at that game, and they texted me. I don't know if you recall on the radio. Remember when the Ravens were buried at the 1-yard line? Do you remember that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. My buddy Chris was there. I had my friend Todd. A lot of other friends were there asking me where I was at. Couldn't make the trip due to my birthday weekend. I had prior plans, but they said it was as loud as ever. And just the way the resilience, but if you recall the situation from last year to this year, Believe it or not, that was Lamar's first win in Pittsburgh, and that's his first start. And how about him in Hollywood? Obviously, Brown being the cousin of Vantonio, EB, and how about him catching that touchdown coming back there? What a great catch, and he held on for that score, and it was great to see that connection happen in Pittsburgh. That's the first of many for these young guys, and it was great to see some plays were made, some weren't. They were left on the field, but all man, we just got to say, especially after seeing some kickers around this league, Robbie Gould in general, I know the Niners took it to the Browns for us and pretty much made them look silly, but Robbie Gould missed two field goals last night on Monday Night Football, obviously recording this the day after. You know, how clutch and how should we never take for granted the great number nine, Justin Tucker? I mean, dude, I was present in Detroit when he kicked that 61-yarder on Monday Night Football, or 62, if I recall. I can't remember how – it was definitely 60-something. So, just how blessed we are to have Justin Tucker in the clutch when it matters. He's just money. And if you recall, it started out left. It looked like he's going to miss it and somehow curved in right. And boy, man, he got the game tire and the game winner. Again, all around, how bad they played, the win says it all. That was a huge W.
And I got to ask you, you brought up Hollywood first. What did you think when Hollywood went off the field and they said that there was something wrong with his ankle at first? I mean, that's the injury he was coming back from.
Yeah, I was concerned because, again, that Lisfranc, right? You were concerned. And I was concerned not only with the prior injury, but we already lost. I don't know if it was after or before we lost Jefferson. And obviously the big news coming out of this game and the big loss is Tony Jefferson's out for the year. Was it a torn MCL or ACL, if I recall?
I think it was ACL, but they said there's ACL. More going on besides that. So it's not just that.
So I really feel bad for him. You're going to miss his leadership there. There were some lapses. We know he could have played a lot better in these games, but started to lose to Tony. That's such a gruesome injury. Our secondary and our defense was already terrible, and we lost the guys. So that's a casualty of war, and that was the price we paid for the win. And unfortunately, Tony's out for the year, and we got to have some shuffling around there. And we'll talk about who might fill in and where, and we'll get to that. And but just Hollywood's concern when he was in the locker room, but then immediately, because it's hard, obviously, on TV. When I'm there live, when it's a home game, I can see what's going on the sideline, so I can kind of get a gauge on that kind of without going to social media. But when I'm watching on TV and they don't fill you in, I immediately go right to Twitter, follow the beat writers of this team, really see what's going on. The report was he was going back on the locker room under his own power. They said he was smiling. So I was like, okay, well, he's not on the card. He's not limping. And then they showed him on TV kind of jogging on the sideline, running routes, catching balls. So I was like, okay. And it was very concerning because you're like, great. There's our one of our greatest playmakers other than Jackson right there in Ingram that we cannot lose. And we already lost Jefferson in the game. And it was great to see him come back out. But again, man, he balled out. What a redemption game, if you can call it that. He produced, he scored for us, the lone touchdown for the Ravens at that point. And and just the way it happened, I know Ingram scored late in the game, but just the way it was unfolding, it was very important. But I do have to say this, if you realize about the scoring, we didn't see those bonehead two-point conversions. So that was a blessing. That was a refresher. Again, not that we can disagree on them, we can agree on where they're called. I feel like we should only go for that when necessary or when it calls for it, not every time. But I felt like Harbaugh definitely kept himself in check, saying, you know what, we're going to do it the right way, the correct way, and didn't play those analytics this time and get crazy with it. It was Ravens Steelers, and it was close all day long. But it just was, again, one of those great games. There were showers involved. There was a rain shower at one point. It was that overcast, sloppy, gritty AFC North bout in Pittsburgh, and we came out a win. And if any, man, I tweeted about this earlier, man. The Ravens from week one, didn't they look so flawless coming out of that Dolphins game?
Yeah, they absolutely did, but that also worried me because the Ravens have a history of coming out and playing you know, crazy the first two, three games and saying like, oh my God, these guys are going to win the Super Bowl. And then they have a couple stinkers in October, and then November, late December, they go on a run and everybody goes, you're not going to want to face this team in the playoffs. So it's kind of been Ravens of old this season, I think, even though we got some new toys. But yeah, they looked unstoppable week one.
They did, and I know, and I know it was week one, and it seemed like eon ago to compare to how they're playing right now. But I bring that up to say this point: they looked flawless, and in that win, they looked ugly in this win. But both have similarities; they're both wins. It's 60, you know, over 60% of the wins this year already in 5 weeks in. And that's the point, Brandon. You know, no matter if they play perfect, flawless football or ugly football, they're both wins. And if they can win with playing awesome and they can win playing ugly, yeah, I know the opponent plays a little bit to the factor, right? You know, they're not playing a stout team at that point playing ugly, because a stout team and a good team is going to really take advantage of their mistakes and their woes. But, you know, with that being said, that's such an important win to escape with, because, you know, again, reverting back to the standings, it could have really been detrimental. But what really helped us this week is the Browns make us look like the worst team in football. They put 40 on us at home. It was 40-18. Luckily, we scored a garbage time touchdown to make it kind of respectable in that point. But, you know, and they get absolutely embarrassed on national Monday Night Football, national TV Monday Night Football. So, you know, and they couldn't do anything. You know, Baker looked, and again, reverting to that game, if you recall, I don't know if you watched it last night, but this is what happens when you create pressure. I mean, right away, I mean, the Niners had over 200 yards rushing on the ground. They pretty much disrupted Baker all day, getting into his face, sacking him, pressures. And if the Ravens, I felt like last week, reverting back to the game that week, if they'd have stuck to the running game and had pass rushing ability, they would have probably kept that game a lot closer, if not maybe pulled out the win. So, no, and it was a concern again on Sunday against the Steelers, because not only did they not pressure Mason Rudolph, but Hodges, they couldn't even get to him. And Hodges, and that shows you the concern with this team is, no matter who's quarterbacking, whether it's a six-time Super Bowl winner in a couple weeks here, 3 weeks time, or it's a undrafted third-string rookie who's never started, they're going to sit back there and pick them apart, and that's very concerning going forward. Again, you count the blessing that is the win, right? They're 3-2. Thank you to the Niners, and almost thank you to the Browns for really not showing up. They got shellacked at 31-3, and the Ravens sit atop of the AFC North with a game lead at 3-2. So if you look at the makeup of this division and the state what their opponents are in, the Ravens with three wins – have as many wins as the other three teams combined. Steelers with one, Bengals with zero, and the Browns with two. And we play the 0-5 Bengals this Sunday. And if you look at the Browns' next two opponents, we kind of trail them. The Browns play the Seahawks in Cleveland, then they go to New England. We play the Bengals this Sunday at home, who are winless, and we can really separate ourselves from them and put them out of their misery. Then, and I didn't get as far as looking the Steelers play, but being at their 1-4 and they're starting Hodges, it's going to look very grim for them. And then we play after that the Seahawks away bye week, and then the Patriots at home. So this kind of next month of football, Brandon, is going to really show us the makeup of this division. So by early November here, we're going to see who's going to really emerge with the stretch run coming, like you said, that November, December type football. Because, that's where the meat of the schedule is going to be. We play a lot of tough quarterbacks there. We play and this is the concern going forward, right? You know, not to, you know, discount Andy Dalton and what the Bengals can do, right? But they're decimated with injuries, and they're horrible. They're one of the worst teams of football right now, obviously, at 0-5. But we have to play a Brady. We have to play against a Wilson. We have to play against a Deshaun Watson, who just threw 5 touchdowns on Sunday. We have to play a Jared Goff. So in that, if you look at the next makeup of month of football or a little beyond that, Brandon, we have to play the Bengals twice, home and away. So we play Andy Dalton. We play Russell Wilson, Tom Brady, Deshaun Watson, and Jared Goff. And then on top of that, we have to play Jimmy Garoppolo and the Niners here. And who knows? So right now, there's two teams right there in that schedule who are currently undefeated. Who knows where they're going to be at when we play them. But it is concerning coming from Sunday. Again, it's a huge win. We can talk about the win all we want, but it doesn't, and I tweeted about it, right? It doesn't discount the Ravens' problems. There are main concerns that remain, and I even posed the question, can they be fixed in time? Because apart from the Bengals this Sunday, they don't have room for error because the Bengals are thrown in the mix there, but they go Bengals, Seahawks, Patriots, Bengals, Texans, Rams, and then the San Francisco 49ers. And then they got the Bills, who right now are 4-1, have a better record than the Ravens at this point with 5 weeks in. I know it's a lot of football there, wrapping it up there. So, but this whole month and a half stretch of football, apart from what the Browns can do there, I know the next 2 weeks are really grim for them with their opponents. But, Brandon, man, I don't know. With this defense and how with the lack of pass rush and these coverages, I don't know. I mean, 3-2 is great right now in first place. It feels good, but it almost doesn't because there are so many concerns right now. It's almost like, does the offense have to score 50 points every week, man? I don't know. It's going to be tough.
So with the defense being so bad, there's a lot of rumors going around that the Ravens are going to be very active towards the trade deadline. And we know there are a couple players out there that everybody's talking about that want to leave their current organization and move on. Do you see the Ravens being big sellers, big buyers at the trade deadline? I mean, obviously with Tony Jefferson out, Jimmy Smith, I think he's still up in the air. No Tavon Young. The defense is definitely battered and bruised. Do you see them making a move to get somebody at the trade deadline?
Great question, man. And I'm happy you brought that up. I don't know if one player can fix this team. I like them for the be active. I think the makeup of the team right now says they should be active, but I know that Eric DaCosta's already said, I mean, let's level here. The Ravens love their draft picks. They hardly like to part with them. They like to accumulate. As you know, they always like to trade back and get more. And Eric DaCosta's already said in his own way, we want to build this team through the draft, right? So I just don't know. I think the makeup of the team calls for it, but I don't know if they're that one player away from making a play. So let me separate the two. There's a difference between playoff run and Super Bowl run. With the makeup of this division right now, you can easily say it's a two-horse race with the Cleveland Browns and Baltimore Ravens. Obviously, they're separated by a game. Browns beat us already, but right now we have the game edge because of the records, you know, 2-3 for 3-2. You know, we remains to be seen. The Steelers are 1-4. So, yeah, they're buried. We got the two-game lead on them with the head-to-head win already. But, again, week five, it's way too early. But if you look at the makeups of the division, I don't know. I think they might sit on it and be they actually might – I don't think they're going to be – it might be almost this way. There's a third answer. They might not be a buyer. They might not be a seller. They might just be neutral. They might be stagnant. They might go, you know what? And I already know they made the acquisitions already. I think they just signed Jihad Ward, a former Colt defensive end. I think he's a pass rusher. You know, they signed LJ, a linebacker. Josh Bynes got involved. Remember, he got the interception off a poorly executed Jalen Samuels throw there on some crazy wildcat play. I don't know what they were running, but Josh Bynes immediately got into the game. Welcome back, Josh Bynes, for all those who don't remember. He used to have a stint here with the Ravens. He actually made the closing tackle on Super Bowl 47 on that kickoff. So that we were holding our breaths, making sure he didn't get escaping. And Josh Bynes gladly ended that Super Bowl for us for our second title. So remember him. Remember that. It could be a Ravens trivia question. I mean, who knows? But, yeah, so Josh Bynes is back. But again, you know, with Jefferson being out, they got to do some shuffling. Deshaun Elliott might have to step up. I think Harbaugh already said, as a Chuck Clark, I think, was named. Right now, they're going to pretty much promote from within at this point. I don't think the Ravens have enough talent on the defensive side of the football that if they were to make a push for, let's say, a Von Miller, or even if Jay Rams is still available, I don't even know with that saga anymore. But and everything screams that, right? It screams that Jalen Rams trade or trade the draft picks for him, because now we're out Jefferson. Our secondary is crap, but it's not only the secondary, Brandon. I'd rather pass rush, because as the Niners showed, You don't have to cover anybody. If you can be disruptive on the front end and hurry the quarterback and sack him and make him fumble and make him frustrated, get him off his spot, that's enough. And you can have mediocre coverage. They'll cover in time to let the pass rush to get there. So I feel like if the Ravens are getting pushed around on the defensive side of the football and our offensive line too, Lamar's running for his life. I think the interior of the line is the problem. I feel like the ends, right? Stanley's doing a fantastic job. He actually has high grades so far this year. I feel like Zeus, Orlando Brown Jr., yeah, he's doing a solid job. I think it's interior of the line with Skura, and I know Yanda is proven right now, and I don't know if he – I would assume Yanda right now is playing fine, right? But, you know, given his tenure and his veteran leadership and presence. But, you know, I feel like the trenches are where it's at, and I would love to hear your thoughts, but I just don't think the Ravens, unless they can really put a solid pieces together, I don't think they're willing to part with draft picks to really get that one player, because I don't think this is a one-player fixer at this point. Doesn't discredit them that they're not a playoff team. They could be. They could easily win a division with 8 or 9 wins. It might happen in this AFC North. Who knows? But I just don't think that they were that one acquisition away from really separating themselves. It's tough to say at this point because they haven't played – the elite teams yet, and that's what I want to see. But I'm curious to hear what your thoughts are on that.
I think if the Ravens weren't sitting on top of the AFC North, then yeah, I think they would be big time buyers in this by the trade deadline. Like you said, they don't want to lose draft picks, but I think they would go after a bigger name player. But right now, when you're sitting at number one in the AFC North, there's really not a lot of pressure for you to get that one player, like you said. So I think if things were different, if they would have lost to the Steelers, yeah, I think they would be making a move. But the fact that they were able to pull out a win, that they're okay with where they're at right now. The AFC North is not the greatest as it has been in the past. So really, it's the Ravens-Browns. That's what it's going to come down to, which is crazy to say. But
yeah. Absolutely.
If this was a loss this week, I think we would be I would at least be saying a different story. But let's talk a little bit about you brought up that big hit on their quarterback Rudolph. When I was listening to it, I mean, it was scary because Jerry Sandusky's like, he's not moving. He's laying on the ground. He's not moving. And they go to commercial and they come back. And thankfully he was able to sit up and walk out on his own. But that hit, that was terrifying to see. I saw the replays and that was like a UFC fighter, like getting hit in the face by Brock Lesnar. And he was out on his feet before he even hit the ground. He was in la la land. I mean, that's what we used to want to see in the 90s, you know, big hits. I mean, that's what you watched football for. But nowadays, knowing what we know about CTE and everything, whoo, man, that was a scary hit to see. And thankfully, right now, he's okay, and it wasn't a spinal injury or anything like that. But scary moment to be watching that game or listening to that game live on Sunday.
Dude, it definitely was, man. That hit, just reverting back to it, when I saw him really get hit, he was like a sandwich. He got hit from the back. I think it was Brandon Carr who did it, if I remember. And then Earl Thomas got him from the front. I think at first it wasn't malicious. And then when I was just like, oh, no, you know, and then, of course, you had to throw a flag on that, right? It just wouldn't be – you're not putting it past the refs on that kind of hit. But, you know, again, when I saw it live and he just went down, you could see his arm was kind of dead and just dropped. I'm like, immediately, I was like, I knew concussion, right? I just had that feeling. But then I'm thinking, like, he got hit from behind and in the front, in the way his neck and all that, you didn't know if it was a spinal injury or a nerve injury. And it kind of was really disturbing. And everybody was quiet. They didn't really know. No one obviously was classless. Nobody cheered. You know, nobody was kind of like, all right, bye. And then, you know, I think if it was Ben, fans would probably have been more malicious about it. Just knowing that rivalry, and anytime you put Ben down because he just never goes down. But again, no matter if it's Ben or backup or no matter what, I mean, Steeler or not, man, it's concerning. I never wish that, man. It sucks because at the end of the day, these guys are humans. They're families, man. They got families. They're husbands. They're fathers. They're sons. They're brothers. They're friends. At the end of the day, man, you know, they put their bodies online for our entertainment's sake. It is a vicious game, but you never want to see that. And I'm glad he's okay. He was released from the hospital. I don't think he's going to start this week. Obviously, I think Hodges gets the start, is what I heard from Steelers. And again, we know Earl Thomas, right? He's not going to get fined. If it did, it was either it probably already happened or it was undisclosed. But again, he's not going to get suspended. There's no malintent. Even he said, you know, it wasn't on purpose. He hopes he's fine. And it just was a very scary situation, and you never want to see that happen to anybody. Yeah. And that should just show you, you know, and I don't want to use this as a preaching moment on my soapbox, but again, and someone tweeted it, and I don't want to go this route, but I feel led to say this too, right, for the sake of it, is, again, you don't have to be the running quarterback, in quotations, to get hurt, because that was every time I hear Lamar runs it, is, oh, he's going to get hurt. Someone tweeted it, and I got to dig through my archives to give somebody credit for that, but they even said, show me five plays that Lamar took a vicious hit on. There's none. You can probably count on less than a few fingers. Like, Lamar avoids it. He's quick. He gets out of bounds. Now he slid on Sunday, which is awesome. How many times did Joe Flacco have that awkward slide? I'm happy to see at least Lamar listened to Aaron Rodgers, and he got down, because there was a run where he pretty much was in the middle field, and he just got right down. So kudos are there. But again, you don't have to be a running quarterback to get hurt. These things happen. You know, he got sandwiched outside of the pocket. He stepped out. He's looking to throw the ball, and he got sandwiched. So let that be a lesson to y'all. Again, I hate to even say it, but again, I got to say it because I deal with all the time with people with the quarterback we have. It's, no, he's going to run. Well, apparently not. You know, he can be in the pocket and get crunched. So let that be a lesson to y'all. So, but again, I'm happy Mason Rudolph's okay. For the sake of the game, again, you know, you never want to see it. Absolutely not.
So let's look forward to this coming week. It's the Ravens up against the winless Bengals.
The natty is winless. I love it, man. But looking at the makeup of the team, man, I can see why. Dude, they're injury riddled all over the place, man. All over the place.
And the Ravens have been there. We've had plenty of years where it feels like everybody's on IR. Seems the injury bug has hit the Bengals a little hard this year. But going into this Sunday, I mean, yes, we want to win. But is the biggest thing coming out of this is no injuries to the Ravens?
How about that? Yeah, I would say definitely. First and foremost, after we lost Jefferson, how this game goes – and with the Bengals woes, you don't want that to swing over to the Ravens side of the ball. Let's hope it just ends with Jefferson with this team. We just can't afford it. I mean, I know Tavion went down early this year. We were relatively healthy through the preseason for the first part of the season. Now we're starting to lose players. We lost Brandon Williams for a time, and now Jimmy Smith's still out. Now we have Joni Jefferson out for the year. So Ravens have their own issues. So it's not looking good on paper when you had the injury report up and you see big names on there and they're not playing or doubtful and active. But, you know, the Bengals are 0-5, and they're 0-5 for a huge reason. They don't have one of their biggest playmakers, A.J. Green. He's been out for multiple weeks. And now they just lost another receiver. John Ross is out for the year, and they're down to Tyler Boyd, who – is already a Raven killer in his own right, because he ended our season 2 years ago on New Year's Eve. You can never forget that. And then now they're relying on Auden Tate to call up. So the Bengals right now are looking at no A.J. Green, no John Ross, and we have to deal with the Tyler Boyd and Auden Tate as an aerial assault for the receiving core for the Bengals. And again, they've been in some games, right? You know, there's a couple games that lost by one possession, and then there's a few games that got blown out. I mean, they were neck and neck with the Cardinals this past Sunday, and the Cardinals got their first win. It was Cardinals and Bengals winless there. And it's kind of funny because the way the season has gone, the Bengals for 2 weeks in a row lost to winless teams. It was the Bengals and Steelers on Monday Night Football 2 weeks ago. Steelers got their first win there, beat the Bengals, and then the Bengals were playing the winless Cardinals at that point. Cardinals won. So the Bengals just couldn't get it done. They're bungling right now, And again, I know Tyler Boyd was one play, lives in Ravens history as a huge eyesore and a bad memory. But you never want to applaud injuries, right? But I will say this from the rooftops. I am excited not to see AJ Green on the field, because how many times has he killed this team? Like, how many times? He's been a Raven killer his whole life, and I'm actually excited that he's not playing.
Yeah, but I mean, like you said, the Bengals, yeah, they are 0-5, but I mean, they have been competitive in all five games. I mean,
and this is an AFC North game, right? So, like with the Steelers game, no Ben, AB's gone off the team, and they still hung in there because how bad are they? That's what I'm saying. I'm not, and I'm scared too, because you know why? The Ravens are 11-point favorites at home. Dude, this is going to be a full-point game in the fourth quarter. Let's just call it what it is, right?
And the Ravens were favored in double digits up against Arizona, and Arizona still hung in there. And, you know, what was the final score of that? That was 23-17. Yeah, so, I mean, they hung in there, too. This Bengals team, while they look terrible and injury-riddled on paper, they're hanging with the best of them. I mean, they lost by just 1 point in Seattle to the Seahawks, and then they lost by just 4 points in Buffalo to the Bills, and then they got, you know, completely blown out by the 49ers and the Steelers. But still, 1 point in Seattle to the Seahawks, that's huge. I mean, it is hard to play in Seattle.
Is it huge for the Ravens, too, because they play in Seattle next week? Ooh. Is that huge for them, giving them hope and saying, well, how bad the Bengals are? Again, you can sit there and play – you know, the opponent card, right? Well, the Bengals did. The Ravens got to play their game. But that does make you feel good that the Bengals only lost by four to the Bills. The Bills are right now 4-1. They only lost by 1 point to the Seahawks. And I think the Seahawks, if I remember, are 4-1, or I believe they are. I haven't looked at their record. I'm not going to get on that till next week as our next opponent. But I should know. but at any rate, it's – they've been in close games, and then they were what? They lost by three to the Cardinals. So I think what? Three of their five losses were, you know, less than the score. So, you know, it goes without saying this is still a dangerous team. I'm not discounting them by any stretch of the means, man. I'm still not taking them lightly. As a fan, I'm not. And I'm hoping that the Ravens don't do that either. I mean, you're right. Looking at their schedule, here it is, week one. 21-20 with Seahawks by one. Niners blew them out 41-17. Week three, 21-17 Bills. Steelers blew them out 27-3. And then there's 26-23 Cardinals. So, you know, they go close loss, blowout, close loss, blowout, close loss. So,
I think it's time for a blowout.
Blowout, right? See? So there's a pattern. You're with me. So maybe it screens a blowout. Maybe that's why the Ravens are 11-point favorites. Who knows? Because I would put them up by 11 favorite after the way they played in Pittsburgh. This should be a 4.5-point spread at most. But 11, thank you, Vegas. You're generous. But I don't know what Ravens team you're watching. This isn't the same. This isn't a perfect pass rating in Pittsburgh that we just came off with Lamar. Lamar was off a little bit. Again, you know, I'm not going to put on one thing, right? The line. I mean, Lamar uses legs to get some good first downs for us. They stay true to the game plan. It's just – but I tell you this. With the Ravens' offensive game attack, we know the defense is bad. I don't want to really focus on that. We know the Ravens' defense has to stop the likes of Tate and Boyd. And, hey, and they still got Joe Mixon. And they still got Giovanni Bernard. They got Andy Dalton. These are formidable players, man. This isn't your, you know, second or third stringers. Even if they were, we probably still would get fits from them. But I'm going to focus on the offensive side of the ball, if I may. I know we have a stable of good tight ends, right? But I'm waiting for somebody other than the name of Marquise Brown to step up in receivers. The receivers are dead to me at this point, man. Who else is out there other than Marquise and the tight ends? We need a receiver to step up.
That's true. Yeah, I mean, Willie Snead has done okay.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah, but it's definitely – he's not showing that he's going to be, you know, your number one
or number
two guy.
He held on. He had some good first down catches. He had that big catch. He's been scrappy. He's physical. And he had that crazy incredible catch for fourth down conversion in Kansas City a couple weeks ago. But I'm not seeing the Miles Borkin getting involved. I know he's gotten two touchdowns, and you know they were good scores, right? But I'm not seeing everybody else contributing. The tight ends are really being the workhorses right now, the passing game, and helping us out. And with Ingram, I just really hope the line can really get out front and pass block. I know that's and what I like to see with Ingram is getting outside the tackles, running interior. I know he's that big bruiser physical type, and I wanted to see off the tackles. But you know who I also want to see who's quick and helped us out in the return game of the special teams? Justice Hill. Mm-hmm. The guy's fast, and I really wish – it was like some of the guys watching the game with on Sunday, they were saying Hill reminds us of a kind of an Alvin Kamara type runner, right? He's small. He's got a small frame. He's low center of gravity. He's quick. And I feel like the Ravens could use him in some screen passes, get him out there. I feel like they need to use Hill a lot more if the receivers aren't getting involved. Get creative. I feel like the last couple of weeks, I don't know about you, man, but I haven't seen the Ravens get creative since the last home game against two home games ago against the Cardinals. I'm going to say Niners for some reason. The Cardinals. I know they got some good play calls in Kansas City to try to get creative, but I haven't seen. Remember the touchdown to Mark Andrews? Seems like an eon ago, right? Mm-hmm. He had the pump fake and he was wide open. I don't feel like the Ravens have gotten away from getting creative, and for some reason, I felt like we're back to the same old checkdowns and going through the vanilla crap. And I feel like it was Marty calling the plays. But again, I know the line's bad too. And when the line breaks down, you can't run block, you can't pass block, and Lamar's got to run out and the play can't develop. I know that plays a part into that, right? So you can't put it all on that. But I felt like the offense hasn't gotten that gear and really putting it on where they're the number one offense. They were actually the number one offense statistically through 4 weeks heading into week five. And I don't know where they stand now. I have to break down the aftermath, but I feel like they need to get it going against Cincinnati big time.
I'm a little worried about Mark Andrews because he's had a foot injury and he's been playing, and throughout the last two games he's had to get off the field for a play or two, and he continues to play, but you can only do that for so long. It's going to affect him long term for the season, but one bad turn or somebody steps on his ankle or rolls on it or something, that's it, he's done, and that's Lamar's favorite target. So after that, all you've got is Marquise. So you're going to need somebody else to step up, because Hayden Hurst has looked good. Don't get me wrong. Hayden Hurst has definitely looked good. But it's been scary to see Mark Andrews out there being targeted so much and having all the stress on his ankle that isn't at 100%.
Right. And that's, again, another concern. You're right, because it was very, very upsetting to me to see Mark Andrews kind of slow to get up at that point on Sunday. He's all right. Monitoring it this week, I feel like he's going to be questionable heading into the weekend, but I don't think it's nothing to danger his game day status. But I'm going to be on top of that like a hawk, and not only for the Ravens' sake of knowing where they stand with their guys, but also – I got him in fantasy, right? So I definitely got to keep up on it. So I'll definitely, let you all know on the call Facebook page if they post an injury report. Injury report usually comes out Wednesdays. That's tomorrow. So we'll certainly see what the first injury report of the week brings us and see how it's listed as far as Mark. The Ravens had the off day today, so there was really no practice. So they get after tomorrow. Today's being Tuesday. So we're going to really monitor that through the week. But, man, I really hope Mark is a go. We cannot be down. Again, I know we have Hurst. And we have Boyle, but with the lack of playmaking in the receiving core and with Mark Andrews being that emerging tight end with Lamar and the rapport, we cannot be down Andrews on Sunday, especially with this important game coming up.
All right, so have we reached that part of the show? Are you ready for this? Should we go over what your prediction is for the game?
Yeah, why not? Let's do it.
All right, so Josh, who's winning? What's the score going to be?
Who's winning? Ravens are going to win this one. I really feel like it's going to, again, the defensive core is going to continue. I feel like that's going to be a concern going into it, seeing how as we just discussed with the injuries. But all in all, I feel like this is going to be a hard-fought AFC North battle. I do not feel like the Bengals have enough to overcome it without being Ross and AJ Green. I know they have weapons. They're still dangerous, but I think they just fall short. I feel like this is going to be This is going to be a 24-20 Ravens victory by four. They're not going to cover the spread. It's going to be close. But at the end of the day, we're going to have a collective sigh of relief and a 4-2 record and a 2-1 divisional record. How about you, man? What do you think?
I'm also predicting a Ravens win. I think they can pull it off against the Bengals, but I would love for it to be a blowout. I really would. I would love for it to be, you know, whatever, 42-21 or something like that. But I don't know. The Ravens defense is pretty banged up. So I think I'm going to go 24. Let's see, 24-18, I think.
Man, you're really thinking hard about that one.
I am. Like, I didn't know. I'm like, 24-23, is that even possible? Could they do it that? I don't know. But yeah, I think 24-18 would be my final score prediction.
24-18. I love it.
All right. Love it. Well, if Josh, have we covered everything?
Quoth the Raven, nevermore.
All right, guys, if you want to continue the conversation with Josh or I, you can. It's real easy. All you have to do is tweet to either one of us. You can tweet to me at Brando Cash. Josh, where can people tweet to you at?
Always at ItalianGQ52.
There you go. Ooh, you're mixing it up a little bit this week.
I did say I seem to pay attention. Yep. Uh-huh, uh-huh. Someone's listening.
That's right. I hope
so.
There
you go. Not fall asleep right on the mic.
Go over to our Facebook page, facebook.com/thecallpodcast.
Make you go to Satchel.
Don't go to Satchel. Don't
make sure
do
you
it.
Go to Satchel. See, I'm making sure you're paying attention this time. See?
Go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/thecallpodcast. Like us over there. Whenever a new show comes out, you'll be the first to know. Now we do the show for free. You listen, stream, and download for free on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Player.fm, Overcast, and Google Play Music, period. All we ask in return is for you to please spread the word about the show, be social with the show, write us an Apple Podcast review, and then let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Reddit and Snapchat and Twitch, anywhere you are social on the web or with your phone. Say, I'm a Baltimore Ravens fan. I listen to The Call, and you should too. So that is pretty much it for the show this week. Josh, take us out the way you always do.
Brandon Marion, thank you so much, man. And glad we got away in Pittsburgh, in towel-twirling country, with a huge W off the leg of Justin Tucker. Man, that guy's clutch, isn't he? And again, cannot stress about it enough. I know it's an ugly AFC North, but with the state of this division, 0-5, 2-3, or 0-5, 1-4, 2-3, 3-2. Right now, the Ravens are on top by a game. Big divisional opponent coming up in the Bengals. We know these Bengals have always given us fits with these past few years, man. It's been A.J. Green and Raven Killer. Remember the years Jonathan Joseph played for this team and gave Flacco fits back when, where he just intercepted him every stinking time. And now I feel like the tides have turned with the way the Bengals are right now, injury prone. The Ravens have their own injury issues, but really – I cannot stress this enough. I cannot wait to get down to the bank on Sunday. I cannot wait to get full throat. I can't wait to get after it, because you know why? This is another important playoff atmosphere. Like, with the way the season's going and every week getting deeper into the season, it's playoff atmosphere. The way back and forth with the schedule and the Steelers, and you know, again, they're two games behind. The Browns are a game behind. We got to keep pace. Every down is important. Every play is important. Everything is important right now. The Ravens, we need to root them hard, and they need to step up big time. They have big time woes on defense. Offensively, they're struggling just a little bit. But again, coming off that huge win, I don't think there's going to be a letdown. I think the Ravens really need to focus in and not have subpar performers at home. Y'all with me? Let's go. Baltimore Ravens against these Bungles. Let's fly high.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by Brad Lepore and Daniel Kelly from the DBK Studio. For more information, go to brandocash.com.